At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Before we get started with this episode, I want to share something that I think could be a game changer for your classroom. Now, as a former special education teacher, one of the things I struggled with the most was creating activities, resources, and curriculum for my classroom. I did not realize that that was part of my job. I have spent the last 10 years developing the Autism Helper curriculum based on what was missing from my former classroom. And now we finally have a way for school districts to purchase this curriculum directly for their teachers. The Autism Helper Curriculum Access is an annual subscription that provides access to all levels and subjects of our curriculum. This curriculum is rooted in evidence-based practices, it's aligned to the standards, and we just completed our pilot case study showing the overall effectiveness. To learn more about how your district can get curriculum access, head over to theautismhelper.com and click Curriculum Access.
Hi, I'm Sasha Long, special ed teacher and board-certified behavior analyst. Welcome to the Autism Helper Podcast. I'm here to explore different strategies to improve the lives of individuals with autism.
Let's talk about de-escalation today. I'm on a de-escalation kick, guys, because I think we don't talk enough about this. We talk a lot about proactive, preventative interventions. These are great. These are essential. These are evidence-based. This is what I teach. This is what I do. But guess what? We also need a plan for what to do when problem behavior happens. We need a responsive plan. And then, not only do we need a responsive plan, but we need a crisis plan. What do we do when behaviors escalate? What do we do when behaviors get big and out of control and dangerous? When aggression happens, when property destruction happens, when eloping, self-injury happens. And I know you're like, oh, well, we have CPI and PCM and all these great safety, preventative big programs that are in place that really teach us how to do restraint and things properly. Those are awesome. Safety care. I love all of those programs. I've been certified in most of them. But most teachers are not certified in CPI or PCM or safety care. And they are now put in a spot where they have to support a child through de-escalation and they don't have the tools. Parents are not certified in those programs and have to support a child through de-escalation. So what do we do? Not everyone can sit through a 5-day, 2-day, 1-day training to get these tools and strategies. We can't just wish and hope that big behaviors never happen. Instead, we need a plan in place to safely support students through de-escalation. Because what I see happening in schools all the time is our strategies being used. And I don't even know if I should call them strategies. Our approaches, our things that adults are doing being not only just ineffective, but completely counterproductive to their goals. Because I know adults that work in schools, their goals are to help kids. Are to help kids be happy, be safe. And what choices that I see adults making in a time of crisis are not in line with those goals. In the end result, they're not getting their kids to a place of safety and happiness with the choices they're making because they don't have the tools in place. So let's talk about it today. Let's talk about de-escalation. And I want to talk about this because next week, my mini course on de-escalation is coming out. And if you are in my membership last year, like if you didn't just join the membership, if you've been in the membership for a while, you actually already got this course. So we did things a little different this year. I created a mini course called De-escalation 101, and we gave this to our members last May or June. And I was excited to give them a little sneak peek, and I was thrilled how much they loved it. I heard from so many members on how they liked, first of all, the mini course style. It's a little over 60 minutes. It's 5 modules. Each module is about, 8 to 10 minutes. So you get in and get out. We don't always have time to take, an 8-credit-hour course, like an 8-hour course, right? Even if I break it up into little modules, it's still long. Like the executive functions masterclass, I got a lot to say on executive functions. Like you got to go through that thing. But this, you get in and you get out. So people loved that setup, but they loved the content. They wanted these tools for de-escalation. So I loved hearing that. And they loved being able to use these strategies right away with their classrooms and with their students. I heard from so many members that were like, I use this in ESY or I use this right away with my class, then use these strategies, the next day with my students in my classroom, which I was so excited to hear. So we are officially opening this course up to everyone next week. On the 22nd, this course is open to everyone. We're only opening it up for a week. So 22nd to the 28th, De-escalation 101 is open. Mini course, smaller price point, which we love that. And the toolkit along with it is one of my favorite toolkits ever because it has so many differentiated visuals, a calm down center kit, different coping strategy visuals, all these different ones that you can carry with you, which is cool. An escalation cycle visual, choice boards, big visuals. Oh, I can't talk about a podcast because it's very visual. You got to check it out and see it. The link's in the show notes. But that's why I really want to talk about de-escalation because it's top of mind since I'm kind of prepping to open this course next week. But I want to talk about some of the missteps that we make and why and what we can do instead. And if you are struggling with this, if your school is struggling with this, check out the course next week. And if this is something that is a school-wide problem, I want you to reach out today to your administrator. And we accept school POs. We have group discounts. And when we talk about some of the missteps that happen, often these missteps do happen on that school-wide level. We have schools that are signing up their whole school. We have schools signing up 30, 40 teachers. We've got awesome group discounts for that. And again, it's a 63-minute course. We can do this on a PD day real easy. I want every educator in a building knowing these strategies because when this happens in a hallway, in a lunchroom, in a gen ed classroom, everyone's on the same page and everyone knows what to do. And these missteps that we'll talk about in a minute aren't happening. So reach out to your special ed director, to your principal, to your superintendent, to your BCBA, to your behavior support specialist, whoever does kind of the training in this area and ask them about budget because it's a smaller price point, because it kind of touches every area and every child. You'd be surprised. A lot of times we get a yes. So reach out now and then you'll be ready to go by next week. All that information is in the link in the show notes with our school information.
With Robinhood, not only can you trade individual stocks and ETFs, you can also seamlessly buy and sell crypto at low costs. Trade all in one place. Get started now on Robinhood.
Trading crypto involves significant risk. Crypto trading is offered through an account with Robinhood Crypto LLC. Robinhood Crypto is licensed to engage in virtual currency business activity by the New York State Department of Financial Services. Crypto held through Robinhood Crypto is not FDIC insured or SIPC protected. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Securities trading is offered through an account with Robinhood Financial LLC. Member SIPC, a registered broker dealer.
So let's talk about some of the missteps that happen with de-escalation, especially on this school-wide level. So I have walked up to many a behavior incident with both a child with an IEP and without where there are 3 or 4 adults around this child. And I'm always like, aren't we short-staffed? Like where did all these adults come from? Like why is the lunch manager here? Like what is going on? And it's, not to like laugh at that situation, but like they're well-meaning adults. People are trying to help. And you're like, oh, it's a safety thing, right? But sometimes it's like with a kindergartner. And I'm like, this kindergartner is not a weightlifter. Adults can be nearby. They can be down the hallway in case there's a safety issue. They don't need to be 6 feet, you know, 6 inches away from that child. They don't need to be all up in his business. If I was having one of my worst days of my life or worst days of that month, and I have three other people like in my face, it would make me so much more upset, so much more escalated. That is the first red flag to me that people don't have the right tools when there are that many adults around an escalated child, because that proximity can cause problems from so many areas, from an area of shame, from an area of sensory regulation, from an area of reinforcement and reinforcing problem behaviors and attention. I mean, from so many angles, it's just not the right choice that we're not physically giving that child the space to de-escalate. And right there, we're just kind of prolonging the situation. And that's why we do want the whole kind of school on board with strategies, because right there, it's like, let's back off. Like, let's give some physical space. And we get nervous when it's a safety thing. When a kid's being aggressive, we don't, well, he's going to run and he's going to hit someone and he's going to throw a desk. Okay, well, I can be 15 feet down the hallway, and if he does run, then I'm there. I don't need to be 1 foot away, and I don't need to have three adults 1 foot away. I mean, if you've never met me in real life or seen me in person, I'm short. I'm like 5 feet tall. I spent most of my years teaching junior high. Most of my students were always male, so most of my kids were always taller than me. And I mean, you better believe when I'm talking school-wide issue, like I'm talking from personal experience, because very well-meaning colleagues of mine would always swoop in to help me. And I always typically taught, you know, students that had some behavioral challenges, and people were trying to be nice and swoop in and help because I'm 5 feet tall and my kids are two heads taller than me, and like, oh, let me help this little teacher. And I was like, oh God, get away, I got this. And like, I literally had to ask my principal in the start of the year, like, give me 5 minutes on a mic to tell everyone to lay off, like, because it was problematic in my behavior plans. It was problematic in my de-escalation strategies. It was causing major issues in increasing problem behaviors because people were interrupting what I was trying to do, and I had it under control, and then people would jump in and make it worse and escalate the situation even more. So I literally had to every single year be like, hey, if you see me with a child in the hallway and there's an issue, you have to ask me, do you need help before you jump in? And if I say no, I don't need help, you have to respect that. It's not my pride. I know when I need help. When I was 8 months pregnant teaching and I had really aggressive students, you better believe I was like, yep, I need help. But other times I was like, no, I got it, because I knew I did, and I knew my kids and I knew my limits. But I didn't want people there that I didn't need to be there, because I knew from a de-escalation standpoint what would be a further trigger for my kids. And so we want to really think about that from a community standpoint, especially when things happen outside of the classroom, as things often do, because there's a lot of triggers outside of the classroom, I think. You know, in the four walls of your room, it's safe. It's structured. They know what to expect. You leave your classroom to go to the bathroom, to go to lunch, to go to recess, to go to specials. There's a lot of unknowns, right? So I think that's where problem behaviors can often happen, because there's so many potential triggers outside of the room. And then it's much more difficult when behaviors happen outside of the classroom. You know, I always say, like, when you're standing on a staircase and a meltdown or a behavior happens and you're like, cool, I could just like plummet to my untimely death at any moment. This is great. Let's please get to the landing so it can be a little bit safer. But we want, in those settings that are outside of the class, to still have the same plan in place for de-escalation. So that's one, I think, big trouble area for de-escalation, is having too many people involved and not allowing that space to de-escalate. But honestly, scaling back, the biggest challenge with de-escalation that I see in most situations is just not having a plan. When we have kids that have consistent, patterned issues with aggression or big problem behaviors, they likely have an FBA done, they have a behavior plan, fine, we're ready. But let's think about more one-off situations. Let's think about students without a diagnosis, students in gen ed build classrooms. There might not be a plan then. So we don't have a crisis plan in place. What are we going to do then when this perfect storm happens? There is, you know, things happening at home, child didn't sleep well, classroom is short-staffed, kids were mean to him on the way in the building. Fire drill gets pulled. He's hungry. There's another trigger and he lashes out and punches someone. And we just don't have a plan. That's when we, as the adult, as the educator, as the parent, whatever situation this is in, we are running purely on adrenaline, purely on emotion. We are acting from a place of frustration, of worry, of fear, right? When, like, sometimes when that happens, it's scary. I mean, I have been in situations where, man, I'm scared. I told you, I taught kids who are bigger than me. You better believe I haven't been scared. I've been scared. I don't want people to get hurt. I don't want kids to get hurt. When we are acting from those places, it's not going to be a productive situation. If we can have a plan in place, a simple crisis plan of what we're going to do, it takes away a lot of those big, scary emotions for us as the adult, the worry, the unknown, the fear. Because we're like, okay, we got a plan. Even something simple. So having a simple plan in place is what the missing piece is often. And that's exactly what we talk about in De-escalation 101. In De-escalation 101, we go through, first off, foundations of behavior, because I think you need kind of a basic understanding of why behavior happens in order to support problem behavior. And then the modules are simple. What do we do before problem behavior, during problem behavior, and after problem behavior? And this develops that crisis plan on how to support a child during de-escalation. My goal during de-escalation is that we walk away from the episode, the meltdown, the big behavior, with the same strong rapport. We talked a lot about rapport last week, that we had before. After a big incident, we're often ruining rapport, and then we have to start over. I don't want to ruin rapport. I want to send the message to my student, I am here for you even on your worst days. Even on this day that felt really crappy for you, that you feel like you messed up, and maybe you did, I am still here for you. That's the message I want to send. I want him to come back on Tuesday and know that I'm still smiling, standing in the doorway. Because I don't want him to come back Tuesday with a grudge, with an attitude, because then we're going to have a second crisis. So I want to support that child in that problem behavior in a way that still keeps rapport intact while maintaining safety. And we can do that while still enforcing boundaries and teaching and providing repair and instruction. That's what happens after, not during. That's kind of the misstep. And we want to separate when teaching happens. Too often we try to teach during an escalated situation. Kids aren't ready to teach when they're aren't ready to learn when they're like raging mad. When they're raging mad, they're not ready to learn right now. So we got to wait. So that's what we want to figure out, is what do we do at each stage of de-escalation so after this incident is done, we can still have that strong relationship. So if you have kids with these big behaviors, or even if you don't, if you want, you're like, I just want to be prepared. I want to have that crisis plan in place. So if something happens, I'm not acting from a place of fear, of worry, and frustration. Talk to your principal. Talk to whoever, you know, behavior coach. The link is in the show notes. And get prepared with a school purchase order so you can have that de-escalation one-on-one for your team. It's opening next week, and we are super, super excited about it.
Thanks for listening to the Autism Helper podcast. If you liked what you heard and want to hear more, hit subscribe. It would mean a lot to me if you left some feedback. Whether I'm working one-on-one with a student, doing a podcast like this one, or presenting for a PD, my goal is always to provide as much value as I can. So your feedback really helps me make sure I'm doing just that. If you have other topics you'd like me to cover, leave in the feedback or message me on social media. You can follow me at The Autism Helper on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Pinterest, or visit my website, theautismhelper.com. Thanks again for listening.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together, because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Having the right resources for your classroom is essential to making sure your classroom is running smoothly. At the Autism Helper Shop, we have all of the resources you need to make sure you have the behavior, communication, and curriculum supports for your students. Within our shop, we have adapted books, task cards, resources aligned to the VBMAP and the ABLES, behavior plan flowcharts, data sheets, curriculum. Everything you need, whether you are an early childhood teacher or a high school teacher, we have all of the resources that will meet those students' needs. So head over to shop.theautismhelper.com to check out all of our resources.